We should have just brought the ginger ale up. For some reason, it's really helping tonight.
Wow. I need to get more then.
Well, who's been drinking it? You do not need it if you are not sick.
I mean, in my defense, ginger ale has not helped with morning sickness for you up till now.
I know. It's weird. I don't know what's happening tonight.
Well, I will run out and grab ginger ale. Ginger beer is not going to help. Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got three kids. Rainy?
Yeah.
Emerson?
And introducing... We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of two young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
How you feeling, boo?
Sick.
Yeah.
But really excited about this episode because, honestly, I feel like it's going to be clarifying for my own thinking to kind of talk through it a little bit. And it's really interesting. So interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Can we get a general pregnancy update?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like every week we say like this was the week from hell, but like we really mean it this week. Well, actually the last 2 weeks, but I got a really bad cold. That congestion kind of took my morning sickness through the roof. And it was kind of really depressing because like the 2 days before that, I was starting to feel like I could live.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like back to square one. And then right at the end of that cold, we all got some virus.
Mm-hmm.
And
a pukey, poopy virus.
Yeah. It went through our masses slowly, starting with the children,
mm-hmm.
then moving to me, and then moving to Derek. And Derek took me into the doctor's the one day. The kids were with my parents. Oh, and we managed to infect like our entire support system unknowingly. So that was great.
We had the kids stay over at my parents' place, and Emerson started throwing up there. We figured it was some sort of phlegmy or like, I don't know.
They figured that's what it was. They weren't even concerned about it being a virus.
Yeah. And then...
It always happened when he laid down. Yeah. So...
And then Rainy started throwing up and then we're like, oh.
And for her, it was like every 5 to 15 minutes for like 2 or 3 hours. It was intense. And it was so sad. And it was this is the first time that like our kids have really thrown up.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been spoiled and yeah. And then I got it and I was up like every 20 minutes for the entire night throwing up. Mm-hmm. And there was already not much in my system to begin with. So I didn't have any food in my system, didn't have any liquids in my system. It was bad. So the doctor wanted me to come in. And then Derek got it right like a few hours before he took me into the doctor.
Yeah.
And at this point, like we thought that it would breeze through us pretty quickly because Rainy, it was like eight hours of symptoms for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, it was like a good 3 or 4 days because my body was already like wiped.
And for me, it was more like a 24-hour thing.
Yeah. We were so pathetic, both of us throwing up in the doctor's office. I started puking blood at one point, so that was fun. You can like blow blood vessels in your eyes and stuff from violent vomiting.
Wow, that'd be pretty gnarly.
The nausea was bad, but like I had really sharp stomach pain the whole time. Anyways, it was just the week from hell. And we're still dealing with like diarrhea from our kids. Rainy woke up in the middle of the night and had pooped all over the place. Mm-hmm. Not gotten to the toilet in time. Everything smelled like poop, which is great with nausea. And then this morning, I went in to get Murray and just smelled poop. And I was like, oh, crap. Literally. I think there was about 3 diapers worth.
I can't believe that. Ugh.
Like I took off his diaper and set it to the side. And when I went to clean up the diaper, I realized that like there were 2 little poop piles that had oozed out of the diaper in the amount of time that I had been sitting there. It was just like, well, starting the day off with a bath. Anyways.
Yeah. Welcome to the show where we not only tell you about our joy in life, but also our despair.
Oh, so much poop. But I did realize that in the midst of, you know, everything, and the last few days have been a lot better. So thank you, God, for that. Because there's a day where I just like sobbed. I was like done. I was just so done. I feel like I've been pretty like resolute, even though I've said like, this is hard a lot. There's just like right when I was starting to get the virus, I just like broke down and sobbed for the longest time. I was like, I just cannot like catch a break.
Yeah.
But we did realize like Derek and I, it's been cool that we're still close and enjoying marriage and enjoying life together, even though it's been really difficult. There's been a lot of stuff on him, a lot of sickness for me feels very isolating and like people don't really understand what I'm going through. And then when your partner, the smell of them makes you sick, that's kind of discouraging if you are like those obnoxious PDA people.
Yep.
So grateful for God's grace and that you can have a strong marriage even when you're a little repulsed by each other. How can you say that?
Well,
you look so professional on the floor right now.
Yeah, me sprawled out in my underwears.
Still in some of your work clothes with your headphones on.
Holding a mic because the mic stand is still broken.
Yeah. Oh my
goodness. From the experiment a couple of weeks ago.
So anything that you've learned?
Well, I actually, before we do that, I have a couple, there's a couple of pieces of follow-up that I think we should hit. So this is a very, very important one that I meant to mention like two or three shows ago. But you remember when we talked about Steven Universe on the show and how we were complaining that Cartoon Network was encouraging piracy with their methods of not allowing us to buy their episodes? Well, the day after we published that episode, Steven Universe put all their stuff on iTunes for purchase.
Oh my goodness. They listened to our podcast.
They clearly the Set to Learn Nation has come through for us inside the Cartoon Network. We have
affected change.
We have affected change. So if any of you need something done specifically in regards to the Cartoon Network, just hit us up. We'll get something going for you. And in slightly more serious follow-up, we have a response on the sperm question.
From the doctor. From the wisdom among us.
So Jesse has written in and set us right, saying a bit. So for those of you who don't remember, this was two episodes ago where we were talking about theories for whether this was a boy or a girl and supposed like male and female sperm theory, and you know, we were having fun with that. So Jesse writes in, the differences that were supposedly from X and Y sperm were based on observations from the 1960s that were probably artifacts of the microscopy of that time. Multiple recent analyses have not found any difference in the shape or function of X and Y sperm. So, I don't know if that means that X and Y sperm are still a thing, but yeah. That's totally outdated and probably not true. Well, definitely not true.
So we were right that we were wrong.
That's right. We are the most reliable source of hot takes here on Set to Learn.
Oh, man.
You decide, dear listener, misinformation or vintage science? So thank you, Jesse, for following up with our lazy butts and giving us the right information.
I have more science this week.
You do. Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, man.
Does this fall into things that you have learned?
It does, actually.
Okay.
So
do tell.
So
do tell, you elegant tiny bus driver.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry. I totally missed the compliment section of the show.
I'll take it. I don't know about the bus driver part, but I'll take it.
Yeah, it's just a thing. Don't think too hard about it.
So within the discussion of caffeine during pregnancy, and caffeine during nursing, with a mom's group, I ended up going down a rabbit hole of what coffee actually does to your body. I mean, I Googled, how does coffee work? but anyways, I was surprised to learn that coffee is less about adding something to your system. Caffeine is less about adding something to your system and more about caffeine is blocking something from your system. I don't know if you knew this before.
But no.
Anyways, it basically blocks, and I hope that I say it right, but adenosine, which is a neurotransmitter that your body releases throughout the day that tells you that you're getting sleepy and tired throughout the day. And basically it blocks adenosine from happening. And because of that, like, your body wakes up. And then there's a lot of other things that happen. You release hormones and adrenaline and all sorts of for the feel good stuff. And
mm-hmm.
that can impact your blood pressure and heart and stuff like that. But anyways, I just thought it was very interesting because when I think of coffee, I don't think of necessarily something that blocks, but just like a, you know, perk, you know. Anyways.
Yeah.
The science of it is very interesting to me.
Very. Well, for the first thing that I've learned, I have learned that unfortunate poop incidents make one extremely aware of any sound in the middle of the night.
Poop is our sanctification word for the week.
So when I don't, you probably
I know,
touched
Derek's
on
been
this.
Like jumping up in bed every time he's heard like a random sound after that one diarrheal.
Mm-hmm.
Because
when Rainey had an unfortunate incident, it was preceded by, you know, kind of moans and uncertain sounds and then crying and other sounds that we won't go into. And so now that every time someone makes a sound, I am like awake instantly. It's magic. And so, yeah, you just need the right kind of motivation to get yourself awake at night. That's all. Do you have anything else?
I mean, along with that, I didn't put it on my list, but I'm learning how much heat you have to use to kill bacteria when you're washing soiled garments in the wash machine. So that's been interesting too.
Yeah.
Or even just like, because we were pretty sure that we got the neurovirus and how long that type of bacteria can live on a surface. Because we are not the family that's like, oh, we might be okay. We might be contagious. Let's just go to church anyway. Like, no. If we have something nasty, we are not taking it to church if there's any possibility. So try to figure out how long it takes.
Because you need to get water basically to boiling for something to get sanitized, right? And our hot water does not get that hot. So we can't even sanitize anything in the washer, right? Is that how that works?
You're asking too many detailed questions. I am not sure that I could tell you the specific heat. I mean, we learned with the whole chicken spoon this week.
Right.
Like to get bacteria off like that. Which makes me wonder, like, is our dishwasher really cleaning anything that we're...
It is cleaning. It's not sanitizing. Because it doesn't have a heating element inside.
Yeah, but I feel like... Okay.
You can clean germs off, but you're not going to kill them all. That's not how...
I don't feel good about anything now.
Yeah. The more you delve into...
I wash a lot of clothes in cold water. Like...
Yeah. The more you delve into bacteriology, the more it is all unsettling and weird, and we wonder how we're all possibly healthy in the first place.
It's okay. We live in our own like bacteria clouds anyways.
Exactly.
Interacting with each other's bacteria clouds.
While we're talking about bacteria clouds, did you know it's actually more sanitary to go around barefoot than go around in shoes? Because shoes...
Derek could talk about this all day. This could be an entire topic because Derek has the data.
Because shoes are basically little houses of germs that never get clean. And there's just lots of cloth for the germs to live in there. And every time you're stepping on your shoes, you're releasing little poofs of air out of your shoes and releasing bacteria into the air. Whereas with bare feet, you're just leaving that bacteria on the ground, man. It's not even getting up in the air. Now there's no poofs of air in my heels.
I don't know what it is about the word poof, but it makes me think of that whole that quote from Magician's Nephew where he's like, I tried the experiment on guinea pigs. Some died. Others burst like little bombs. But it totally just popped into my head.
It's such a great line. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Magician's
Nephew. I need more radio theater in our kids' lives these days.
Oh, man. I don't know that Rainey's really into radio theater yet, though. I haven't tried in a while.
Well, I've done Paws and Tails, but that's still, it's not riveting.
Yeah. There's some good, children's audio adventure podcasts that I could throw your way.
Yeah, because I think at this age, I think where kids are at is very, very visual storytelling and less about the narrating out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, she'll tell a story. But if you notice, when we're taking turns telling stories, storytelling is challenging at this stage.
Yeah, right.
In some ways.
Yep.
Because it's hard to visually think through something. But it's a good practice, so.
Yeah. Last thing I learned on a more serious note is there was a sermon a couple of weeks back that just gave me this thought. Knowing that God knows every part of my soul and judges all is very weirdly comforting in a time of life when a lot of sinfulness is on display for me to see all of a sudden. With this stage of life where it's all very frustrating and there's a lot on me and everything is just not how I want it to be at all. I'm seeing my wife lay in bed in pain and, our children are obviously feeling that too. And I'm feeling that and we're all trying to get along and feed ourselves and dress ourselves. And, I see a lot more anger and laziness and impatience and apathy in myself the last month and month and a half. And which is also very discouraging for me because I know I don't want to do that, but in the thick of it, it's hard to reason yourself out of bad behavior and you just go with the instinct. And but the thing is, and this is stuff that I did not see in myself before because I was not put in a situation where it was
confronting
brought out of
you.
Me. Yeah, where it was confronting me. I don't want it to say that it's brought out of me because it's my own fault that I'm doing this stuff. But where it's confronting me, it's a good choice of words. And so knowing that God knew that this was there the whole time as he saved me and, and bought me with the blood of Christ, that's very, very comforting. He knew what he was getting into.
Yeah, I was reading the Jesus Story Bible to Rainey today. She requested it, and we were deep in the throes of the crucifixion, and it was, reiterating the passage in a way that kids could understand and talking about how Jesus was experiencing this heartbreak from being separated from his father and was like, Father, where are you? I miss you. Don't leave me. As being kind of his last request before he said, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And the finality of it all, Christ dying for all the sins that were ever committed and all the sins that would ever be committed. Mm-hmm. And I was like explaining that to Rainey, like, if daddy, you know, gets upset, like, if mama is unkind, if you push Murray, like, Jesus knew that that was going to happen even then and like died for it, like getting all choked up talking about it with her.
Yeah.
But so good. And I love that you were willing to share that. It's been really cool to see you bloom in different areas that aren't normally on top of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been doing so much. So very proud of you. Love you.
Thank you.
You're so black.
I love you so much. So what are we talking about?
So today we are talking about Sinnature and how it impacts our parenting. How our view of Sinnature impacts our parenting.
Yeah, and nothing big.
And this was kind of brought about because in my mind, I haven't been able to put the struggle of figuring this out to words for a really long time. But as we look into unschooling, a big part of unschooling is not setting boundaries on your kids and allowing them to chase after the things that intrigue them in learning. But also, one of the reasons that we are podcasting is because it's really hard to find Christian unschooling stuff out there, because normally the big voices of unschooling are like, do that also with morality. Like, your kids are basically good. They're going to like figure it out, let them explore. And like, yeah. And that's not where we stand on parenting. And that's not where the Bible stands on parenting. But also at the same time, there is a lot to be said about perspective. And one of the books that I'm reading right now gave a really good illustration of it. When your child is crying in the middle of the night, one set of parents might think, you know, oh, that child needs something. That child needs me. That child has an innate need. And another set of parents might think, my child is sinfully trying to manipulate me. My child is trying to control me, etc.
Yeah.
So really, like, our viewpoint of sin nature, I think, makes all the difference on discipline and parenting. So, yeah.
So, we've been reading a book recently called, did you just say this?
No, I didn't say what it is. So it's called Jesus the Gentle Parent.
Okay.
And I'm still in the middle of it. And I don't recommend it. Okay. I do recommend parts of it, but I'm scared to recommend any book because is the gospel.
Right,
and
exactly.
I should just always give that caveat. Like, read your Bible, and if it doesn't line up with your Bible, then it's not true. You guys are smart people. You know that. Jesus the Gentle Parent has a lot of really good points, but I do not agree with them on sin nature. But also, I do not agree with a lot of other big names on sin nature. And I have some quotes from some people.
Oh, boy.
So are you ready to delve into this? And
let's do this.
All of these are going to be about discipline, because,
I should say, before we get started, we are not theologians. We like theology, and we like thinking deeply about theology. We are not pastors. Please do not enact anything without, like,
yes. Go talk to your pastor and read your Bible, and we will try to tie this to scripture and stuff, but we also don't want this to be a 5-hour podcast.
Yeah.
So we will give you some scripture, but also, like, go and read your Bible.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't line up, feel free to talk to us about it, because, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, if we slip, because this is kind of a weighty subject and kind of huge.
Yeah.
I'm scared that I'm going to, like, goof up something. And I was just saying this to Derek last night. Heretics! You are heretics. Anyways. Okay. So, this one says, the pitiful look of betrayal in regard to discipline.
Uh-huh.
The pitiful look of betrayal in his poor little eyes just breaks her suffering heart. It would hurt her too much to obey God in training up her child, to set aside one's own feelings for the purpose of objectivity regarding the good of the child is the only true love. So basically, if you feel convicted against your discipline towards your child, it's probably your fault that you are not disciplining them enough.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Real crying usually lasts 2 minutes or less in regards to discipline again, but may continue for 5. After that point, the child is merely complaining. I would require him to stop the protest crying, usually by offering him a little more of whatever caused the original tears, i.e. more discipline. Another person said, well, actually, this is the same person that I just read, but some infants are defiant upon exit from the womb and come into the world smoking a cigar and yelling about the temperature in the delivery room. A healthy baby can keep her mother or father hopping around her nursery 12 hours a day by simply forcing air past her sandpaper or larynx. Let's see what else. This particular child who came along later in our family was extremely willful and rebellious toward our authority and would often require sessions of correcting lasting from 1 to 2 hours in length before their will would finally be broken. Even though you may think these methods of correction that God has ordered parents to carry out are bestial, abusive, and unloving, you are the one who is bestial, abusive, and unloving if you don't obey God in this matter. Moreover, if you do not obey God, your child likely will not be saved unless the Lord supernaturally in his mercy does so despite your disobedience.
That's a weird comment in general, though maybe that's just the Calvinist in me talking.
And if you have to sit on him to spank him, then do not hesitate and hold him there until he has surrendered. Prove that you are bigger, tougher, more patient, enduring, and are unmoved by his wailing. Defeat him totally. Accept no conditions for surrender, no compromise. You are to rule over him as a benevolent sovereign. Your word is final. So the people that I just quoted were Dr. James Dobson, Ronald E. Williams and the Correction and Salvation of Children, and Michael Pearl. And I think there was maybe an Ezzo in there. If not, Ezzos would be right on board with that too.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, our parents went to conferences for, and I'm not saying that everything that they have to say is bad, but I would say that about the Pearls and the Ezzos very quickly. Okay. I mean,
yep.
I think
the Ezzos have history, man.
Ezzos
I don't know about
have
the
been
Pearls.
Excommunicated have from MacArthur's church and
yeah,
completely estranged from their children. I wouldn't know why. Anyways.
Yeah, there may be. No, I'm not going to go there. What's the deal with the Pearls? Did you tell me the deal with the Pearls?
The Pearls would be say a lot of things very similar to the Ezzos.
Oh, okay. Well, good stuff. And now I do want to say that some of that stuff is just following through and being consistent with the view of corporal punishment, that corporal punishment is the way to discipline a child. So some of our disdain is colored by the fact that we have not been practicing corporal punishment.
But it's also the idea that you have to lord your authority over your children mm-hmm. because they need to know that.
Yeah.
That if
Which
you are not
very
beating it out of your children, then you are failing as a parent and your children will be sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our children are sinners, but I mean, will be failures in life.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying there's a lot of rhetorical, emotional weight behind a lot of these words for both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
But all of these quotes come from a sin nature understanding.
Right.
So a few things would be like defining factors. Do we punish our children or do we discipline our children? Do children's wills need to be broken? That's a common theme in a lot of these books, and I could give more quotes on that, but mm-hmm. a child's will needs to be broken by the age of 1, I think was what one person said. So you have to start really early
mm-hmm.
to get it out of them.
And obviously the will breaking thing is outside of any verses that I can think of.
Let's just talk about sin nature, though.
Yeah.
Let's start with that.
That's a great idea.
We've thrown everything in the pot. Yeah. Well, I haven't thrown everything in the pot.
But that's true. There's a lot to go.
There's still some seasonings and stuff.
I threw in the meat and potatoes. At least two or three times this many episodes on. Is this an episode for ants? I don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
So why don't you talk about sin nature?
Okay. So sin nature. So we do. We agree that we all have a sin nature. Yes. And I want to talk quickly about what they think about?
No, we haven't.
Okay. So what Jesus, the gentle parent, thinks of sin nature is that children come out of the womb not inclined towards sin, that they have to learn it.
So
more or less,
they believe that sin nature is just the capability to sin because God made us and said we are good and he doesn't make mistakes and his work is perfect and we are made in his image. So sin nature is instead our choices when we are old enough and aware enough to sin consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is like, does God make anything not perfect? No. So children come out and you must merely guide them upon the path. Mm-hmm. Of righteousness because they are inclined to go that direction.
And I would say that accurately describes what we think as well. What is the word for this heresy, Derek? That's called Pelagianism, I think.
That's Pelagianism, Carl. That kills people.
I thought you were going to go with a different meme. That was good, though.
Sheep, you lied.
I was going to go with the Patrick. That's Pelagianism, Patrick.
Oh, that's good too.
So sin nature, what we think of it. Gosh darn it, we'll get back
on. It is bad. That is what we think about it. What does the Bible say about sin nature, Derek?
So the Bible, well, I'll just speaking from my systematic, I believe in total depravity, that we are born totally sinful at birth. That is a thing that is supported by Scripture in many ways. There's no one righteous, not one. Yeah, exactly.
All have turned aside to his own way.
David talks about in Psalms how he was, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies.
That's very dramatic.
Yeah. You lost
more clothes, I just realized.
I'm naked! No. So Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and this is passed down through the entire human race. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. That's Romans 5:12. There's a lot of good passages in Romans if you want to know about the state of you and your sin and where you come from and how desperately wicked you are.
And then you can go and read Galatians for a little bit of grace.
Yeah. There's good grace in Romans,
too. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Read the whole Bible. It is all good and it is all true.
Yeah, just jump over to Hosea for a little while and then...
A little bit of Habakkuk. Just a little bit of Habakkuk in there.
We all have a sin nature.
We agree on that.
Yes. So
we do see a conscience in our children, though, or whatever you want to call that. We are going to call that common grace, because my toddler, I don't think is a believer yet. I'm not sure. There was a point where she like wanted to pray and ask God to be her savior, but I still don't think she fully understands what that is. So I would say not at this point.
No. I would not say that the law... So the law is written on our hearts, and I'm trying to look up the Bible passage that talks about that. There's a New Testament one, and then there's an Old Testament one. But the law is written on the hearts of man. That's how we know right from wrong without ever reading the Bible. We know inherently that lying and cheating is wrong, and but even if we still do it, I would not call that common grace. That is not what common grace is.
And you don't think the law being written on our hearts is common grace? Because it feels like grace to me.
It is. It is a grace, but that's not what the term common grace refers to. It is. I mean, it's good, but we are also incapable of keeping the law on our own. So if we're incapable of keeping the law on our own, we need grace to deal with that. And God gives us that grace. And let me go look at my verses on common grace real quick. So there is a great site called gotquestions.org that actually, I don't know enough of their mission statement or their statement of faith to be able to tell you for sure that they're 100% awesome and that you go look at them. But if you have questions on like general doctrine stuff, they're a pretty good resource to go to for, you know,
just the verse,
looking up verses and getting context for like, where is this idea come from in the context of the Bible, that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to read some of their summary of the question, what is common grace? The doctrine of common grace pertains to the sovereign grace of God bestowed upon all of mankind, regardless of their election. So regardless of their salvation. In other words, God has always bestowed his graciousness on all people in all parts of the earth at all time. So at some point, there was formulated what is known as the three points of common grace. The first point pertains to the favorable attitude of God toward all his creatures, not only toward the elect. So verses like Psalm 145, 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Jesus said, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That sort of stuff. There's a lot of that, and you see a lot of that throughout Scripture. The second point of common grace is the restraint of sin in the life of the individual and in society, which is more what we're talking about. Scripture records God directly intervening and restraining individuals from sinning. In Genesis 20, God restrained Abimelech from touching Sarah, Abraham's wife, and affirmed it in a dream. God restrained David from taking revenge on Nabal for scorning the messengers that David sent to greet Nabal, which is a whole interesting story. You should go read that. And of course, that also means, brings in at some point, God also using the other side of that coin, God hardening people's hearts. Mm-hmm. So he can move in people's hearts like that. And the third point of common grace pertains to civic righteousness by the unregenerate, basically meaning that God, without renewing the heart, exercises such influence that even the unsaved man is enabled to perform good deeds towards his fellow man, which is also what we're talking about. As Paul said of a group of unregenerate Gentiles, they, quote, do by nature things required by the law. They are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. It's Romans 2:14. So those are all the concepts regarding common grace and things that we're thinking about.
So we all have a sin nature. We all have common grace.
Yep.
Our children are not yet believers, and they do not have the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
But they do are pricked by sin at times.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the law does serve to make us guilty.
Yeah.
To condemn us, make us feel guilty about what we're...
So yeah, we believe in total depravity. I mean,
yeah.
Putting sin nature in another term.
Yep. Babies are completely sinful when they pop out the womb.
Yeah. So we say everything that we do is technically tainted by sin.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that everything we do is sinful?
Not necessarily. There's an angle you can go on that, you know, even in the good things we do, they're ultimately selfish. But
yeah.
It's not, I think.
We could say not everything we do is absolutely depraved.
Maybe. Yeah, sure. Because God does restrain us from sin, for sure. Yeah.
So in the conversation of sin nature, I think that I'm constantly thinking, how do we as adults approach sin in our own lives? There's grace and there's mercy. There's understanding of challenging circumstances. You know, like we have extra grace. We ask forgiveness for sinning against one another, but we also at the same time, like I have grace for Derek in a difficult stage of life right now. And yet there's this thing as parents that we often expect perfection from our kids, and within the goal of training them up and the fear of them missing something, we kind of squelch them with like a "you are a sinner" approach.
Right.
You know, training them to be perfect. We approach child training as a set of problems to be fixed. And so often in doing so, in the process, we, well, like this is a thing for me that I have to constantly watch out. I need to be careful to not be validating my own sense of self-justice when we are quote unquote wronged by our children.
Yeah.
Like, instead of taking the time to connect and communicate and cooperate together, so like, I mean, a good example would be like, how many times does your child whine at you and you whine back at your child? Like, I'm like aware of this in myself. Like, Rainey whines at me and I was like, I'm like, Rainey, that is not how you talk to me. Like I give the tone back and then she has to say sorry, but I don't, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that escalates even more in like the yelling, like, and the different things like that. And we could get into different forms of discipline, but then also, like I said before, punishment versus discipline. Do we believe that our children have to be punished, or do we believe that our children have to be disciplined?
Yeah.
And what is the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Because punishment is asking for a payment for the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And discipline is trying to show consequences, but reach the heart.
Yeah.
I know that we talk a lot about, you know, not wanting our children to obey us out of fear.
Yeah.
You know, to be that training is not like a Pavlov's dog effect. Like, that's not how we want a parent.
Yeah, because you're not reaching the heart. You're not actually sharpening that steel. You're just kind of papering over it with other steel and leaving the steel underneath.
Which is why, like, at this point, gross. We're not creating rules for the sake of teaching our children that we are their authority. Because we believe that there's enough natural uprising of things that our children see that. And, like, at the same time, I don't feel like I need my child to know, like, you are a supreme ruler. Like, I need my child to know that they need to obey for their own safety because God has stewarded them to us. And maybe I'm just saying the same thing in different words. Like, people are like, well, that's what I mean too.
I'll pick up on something here. One of the most helpful things for me in thinking about dealing with the sin nature of our children is realizing that I am no different and that
they need to hear that too.
Yeah. There, but for the grace of God, go I, and I have, and I will, and we are on a level playing field as far as our sin goes.
Except we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we have life experience. We have mental development. Mm-hmm. We have so many things going for us.
Yeah.
We are the parents. They are the children.
And so, like, we, you know, coming at it again from the view of election for me, there is a mercy and a humbleness and a just a gentleness that ought to come with, like, talking to unbelievers who are just nasty to you, because you know that there's no way but for the grace of God that you wouldn't be the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And
the next time you're frustrated and you feel like there isn't logic in a gospel conversation with someone, like, that's because you have light in your life that the Lord gave you.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. So it's about equalizing the playing field for me and coming at it with a new understanding and grace.
Yeah.
That's how I deal with my children's scenario. And everything that I'm saying right now is, I want to cry a little bit because I know I'm not following through recently on that. But
I think you've been doing an awesome job. But
well, thank you. You're very kind. You do not see my heart.
That is very true. That is very true. Again, just going back into mental development and that, how that plays in, like as our children are learning even how to express what they're feeling and doing it poorly or learning to communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of all of this too. But being able to, I know a lot of general parenting, well, reformed general parents talk about like the need to punish each infraction versus like,
wait, like, reformed gentle parents need to perform?
No. They're saying the need to, that desire,
yes, I gotcha.
Like, is not good. Because it's just like when Derek says, like, apologizing to me, like, I don't give him a punishment on top of that.
Right.
Because Christ has already paid for that on the cross. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now I might hold like him accountable to something because like that's a good marriage if I see him like falling into sin and put boundaries in place.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't drag him back and put him on the cross
fire.
Each time.
Yeah.
And again, like how does God respond to our sin? Like, does he push us away or does he draw us closer and teach us and equip us with the tools to not allow sin to be our master?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Sin nature.
That's our general brain dump.
I'm really tired and I'm really sick. I feel like this is probably really scattered, but
you were really great. I'm such a fan of you.
I went into the bathroom and almost threw up before.
Oh no. So. Well, then in that case, let's work on wrapping that up here because that is definitely a show.
That was a mouthful, and it was all kind of lots of different things just spat out and mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
Big old loogie.
And maybe we'll talk about the age of accountability next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Probably not.
I don't think we agree on that yet. So.
No, we don't. We don't. It would be interesting to do a topic we don't agree on with each other at some point, but maybe not when we're struggling with sickness and death and... A sickness that feels like death. None of us are dying. We're okay.
To end on a happy note, Derek.
Yes.
On that doctor's visit from hell.
Yes.
What was the one bright note of that doctor's visit?
Oh my goodness. The bright note of that doctor's visit was the sweet Ivy lady.
No, Derek.
What?
That was sweet too. I mean, that was a person's kindness. But what did we get to hear before that, which was awesome for the first time ever?
We got to hear the baby's heartbeat.
I was just going to like make a note that we heard it. And that really is our heartbeat. You little baby.
Yes.
You want to talk about the Ivy lady too, since you were clearly smitten?
Yes.
I was smitten too.
It was the best part.
It was honestly the worst doctor's visit I've had for like seeing providers. Normally I see midwives and they're awesome, but both of the doctors that I interacted with were like asked me questions, but then didn't wait for the answer. And then were like, what do you want us to do? And I was like, you asked me to come in here and I feel like crap and you didn't even give me any options. And I'm not at a place to mentally think like you're supposed to tell me what I'm supposed to do. It was like death. And they were like kind of mocking. And then they kept pushing Zofran, which hasn't done crap for me so far. And people keep wanting me to try it again and again, even though it's done nothing. Anyways.
So to end
but
on
the
a light
Ivy
note,
lady.
The Ivy lady. So
yeah, this was supposed
Tanya's
to be positive.
Tanya's in a reclining like medical chair with her IV in. And she's seeing me just kind of in the uncomfortable chair.
He fell asleep,
side,
like leaning forward.
Hands with my elbows on my knees. And
there wasn't even like an armrest on this chair. It was like.
Yeah. So I was trying to sleep however I could. And she brought in another huge, bulky.
She and a nurse had to
recliner.
Like wrangle it in. It like took up the whole room, both of us side by side.
And I wanted to cry. It was so beautiful.
It was
and we
so
got to
sweet.
Sleep together. And
We probably slept for like an hour and a half. It was so good.
Yeah. And then I woke up and then I threw up and then we went home. Yep.
And I woke up and threw up too.
Yep.
That was when I puked blood. And then I was like, we were going to go. And now I have to be like, I puked blood. Is that like something to worry about?
Well, let's leave last week far behind us.
Yeah. And y'all, if you can avoid getting sick this winter, 10-10, do not recommend what we just went through.
I love you, Tanya.
I love you. Thanks for loving my sinful little self.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That sounded dirty. I didn't mean it to sound dirty.
It didn't sound dirty to me. It's just because you're not wearing any clothes.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at SetToLearn or leave us a voice message at SetToLearn.com/talk and you could be on the show. But until next time, keep learning.
Can we pause it and you run down and get me a little bit more ginger ale?
I'm not even going to pause it. People can hear my footsteps. My non-poofy footsteps.